There is no more glorious place to stand than in that the righteousness of Christ. I was thinking about something last night. We went, our family, most of us, to a restaurant over in Lake City in honor of Jack, my grandson's birthday. And when we got there, his mother had already made reservations in this restaurant. And somebody else had already set the table. And they called us and said, "Your table is ready." And I went and sat down at that table. I didn't make the reservation. I didn't pay for the meal. But I was blessed to be there. Such is the sovereign grace of God, who has made a reservation for his people. He said to his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a glorious thing it is to be found seated at the table of the Lord and to eat the food that he has prepared. We're looking at Psalm 121. Psalm 121, this is another one of the Song of Degrees. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." This is a glorious psalm, a testimony of Christ. And, of course, the testimony of David as well. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." Now, the natural man, and there's more than one way to look at this psalm. I believe the truth of the psalm is found in the emphasis of the second verse. Some have said that this is a reference to looking to the hills for solace. You know, as a natural man, we if you've ever been to the mountains, I imagine most people have, and there's a grandeur and a beauty, as you look out over those mountains and you see that spreading out before you. And the natural man, in his mind, he finds some comfort and beauty in that, and he might rejoice in it and his ability to be there. A lot of people like to retire to the mountains and go there and spend time and all of that, and that's a good thing. I mean, the Lord gave that just like he gave the ocean. You know, a lot of people like to spend time by the ocean, and it's relaxing and all that stuff, and that's good for the mind of a man. But I believe that the testimony here is that there are the hills that we look unto for our help, but it's not those hills. You know, when we say we'll look unto the hills, from whence cometh our help? The place, the hills from whence our help cometh is the Lord. He's that one who's our helper. And that's what this psalm is about. You know, it's the hills of the Lord. the place, the mountain of the Lord's house, the place where the Lord dwells on high. That's the place to which we look. And we will not look to the hills of the earth while we get some benefit in viewing those things. They're certainly not our help. It's not the place where we find our comfort and our rest. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. He made all these things in his own time, according to his own purpose. And it's amazing, of course, in the Grace Gazette this week, I was writing there about the mountain of the Lord's house and the fact that Jerusalem, as he says in one of the Psalms here, that the mountains, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord does surround his people. And, you know, the Lord has made Jerusalem as a natural city to be typical of that city of God, the true city of God, the city which John saw coming down from heaven, that new Jerusalem, that Jerusalem which is from on high. And a lot of people want to, they think there's some spiritual benefit in going to the physical city of Jerusalem. And I'm not saying that you couldn't be blessed in some ways by visiting that part of the world just to kind of see what it looks like and the things that went on. And you have, you know, a love for the things of God, and these things would be precious to you in a measure. But the natural city of Jerusalem is not a holy city. It's a city inhabited by sinners. I mean, there's nothing holy about the city of Jerusalem, but there is something holy about the city of God, the city with that new Jerusalem, that city which is purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that the mountain of the Lord's house, into which the scripture says that all the nations shall flow into it, because the Lord's prepared it for his people. He knows those that are his, and he calls them unto himself. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Now this was the strength that the Lord Jesus confessed and received. The promise of the Lord, the Father, to the Son was that he would give his angels charge over him, and that he would keep him, and he would not, that so that not even a stone could harm him. And is it not amazing that he was protected throughout his whole life? No man could do anything to him at all. They couldn't harm one hair on his body until such time as the Lord was pleased. And at the appointed time, he was given over into the hands of wicked men to crucify him. How many times did he walk away from wicked men who had intentions of destroying him? You know, and I've mentioned this to you before. I've often pondered exactly the physical aspects of what went on when they took him up on that cliff to cast him down. And the scripture says that he just passed through the midst of them. I mean, they couldn't do anything. Even at the moment when they took it, when he was in the garden and they came to take him. Now you would vision this, they just came and rushed upon him and took him. But no, they didn't do that. They said, "We look for Jesus of Nazareth." He said, I am. Now, of course, in the King James Version, it says, "I am he," but the he's added in there. And he perhaps maybe did say, "I am he." I don't know in how the context of the language is and all of that, but he said, "I am," the very same thing that he said to Moses, "I am." And when he said that, the scripture says that they all fell backwards. I mean, they couldn't stand in the presence of the glory of him, and they couldn't take him. They couldn't have any more took him if they'd had brought the whole Roman army out there, if he had not submitted himself to them. But he commanded them. He didn't request. You know, our politicians, they tell us about all these things that they do and threats that they make and all of this. But the Lord Jesus, he just commanded them. He said, let these go. They couldn't have arrested any of them. I mean, there was no way. They couldn't harm the hair on their head. He said, let these go. And they did. Because they were powerless to do any different. Because him, who's the one who is the help of his people, even in the midst of this, but the Lord would demonstrate that no man stood with him, but yet the strength of the Lord in his life was not in himself, but was in his trust in the Lord, his Father, as he called upon him, as he went to a mountain many times late into the night, a great while before day, and he prayed. And the Lord gave him strength, and he rested in him who would not suffer his foot to be moved. And he that keepeth thee will not slumber. The Lord does not take time off. Sometimes we think that the Lord has abandoned us, or we get to thinking, well, man, all this stuff's happening. Where's the Lord in all of this? The Lord's always right there, just like he was on the seashore when the disciples were fishing and they couldn't catch anything, and he was watching from the shore. And he'd already prepared a meal for them. And it just wasn't quite time for them to come and eat of that meal. But he already had it ready. I don't know when he had it ready. I often think about this and I wonder, I mean, did he actually, you know, catch those fish and clean them and put them on the fire there? How did that happen? Or did he just walk up there and said, let there be fish, and there was fish on the grill? I don't know how that happened. But it's an amazing thing to consider that regardless of how it happened, the Lord was the one that caused it to happen. And it happened in real time.